Blog Talk Radio.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best
oh my.
Is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best.
Is yet to come.
As the author of your faith, he wrote in provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner. Yeah.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people talk to you, ain't seen no.
You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a. My brother, my brother, my
you
brother. What you know? From negative words, get away from negative people. Can God speak to you? Is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing. Yes! No, 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 no.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
It's greater. It's stronger.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
Oh, oh, oh.
Your best days yet.
It's closer. It's
I tell you, boy, I'm so glad to be able to have us here tonight. This is what Mighty Monday. This is Talking Real to You, and I am the host, Dr. Loretta D. Smith. So I'm so excited because God gave us an opportunity through this vessel
right now
to be able to bring to our listeners an opportunity to hear some things, some talk about a conversation about just plain old life issues. And we have an awesome show planned for tonight. We have a special guest. And I can see on the line that I see everybody joining us. And I appreciate each and every one of you taking time to join us. And I give you your introduction in a minute. I'm getting a little talking in the background. So maybe we're about to get started in regards to that. So kind of, you know, ease up on the feedback that we are having. Again, this is Talking Real to You. We're at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. The web link just to hear the show, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. And our brand is, it's the only father and daughter blog talk radio show in the country. So we're glad to have that brand because it gives us an opportunity to get the word out. Let everybody know just about plain old life issues. I am the host, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, and again, happy to be here because it's been a blessing. God has allowed us to see another day. And we give him the praise because he didn't have to do it. So I am happy, full of joy, just like my hashtag said, keep on grinding and communicate for understanding. And that's what we're going to do tonight with our guests. But before I move forward with our guests, there are several ways you can contact the show because we're being broadcast a couple of ways. We're being broadcast by Blog Talk Radio. I gave you that opportunity to hear the call-in number. And if you're interested in calling in, and that number again is 347-857-4192, press 1, and I will identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and actually give you a name, location, if you choose to, offer your comments, questions, expertise. We're being broadcast by Facebook, and that's facebook.com/DR, which is Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith, as well as Instagram. That's Coach Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith 15. So we're ready to make it happen now. So just get ready. The board is filling up with individuals on both Facebook as well as on Blog Talk Radio. People on Instagram slowly trying to get in here, and I appreciate you coming in, stepping out, and going back. The title of our show tonight is Mental Health Awareness in the School Community. We're just talking about mental health awareness in all our communities because we got so much going on. I want to take this opportunity before I introduce the co-hosts as well as the special guests we have, is that we take a moment and offer our prayers for those communities that suffer some tragedy since Thursday. There are some things going on in our communities that I tell you, we just have to just buckle down. As we say on this show, my co-hosts can always back me up on this. We're going to have to do it from home, then block by block by block. We got to address what's going on in our community. And I'll start with our prayers for today's tragedy dealing with the Walmart shooting in Oklahoma that leaves 3 dead in the parking lot. That happened today, as well as on Thursday. We had a shooting in another school, and that's out in Santa Clara, California, and there were 2 students killed by another student, which is a 16-year-old student who eventually turned the gun on himself and killed himself. And then on Sunday at a tailgate party in the backyard in Fresno, California, just family enjoying watching the game, watching the football game, 2 gunmen came around and shot 10 of their family members, 4 killed, 6 injured. And it's a challenge what we do. But last but not least, I have to go back to Friday in New Jersey. A young boy was shot because of an altercation between several adults at a football game. and there was some gunfire, and he was hit by, he was in critical condition. So on Facebook, he's coming along, unless I got the wrong information. And that's what I'm talking about. This is the kind of tragedy that we're dealing with in our community. So we have to offer our prayer and lift those communities up, lift those families up as well. So I'm just so excited and I'm happy that we're able to talk about it, but we also offer our prayers. I'm excited because God gives us the strength to lift everybody up, and I'm so glad that we can do that by sharing this vessel with you. All right, without further ado, we have mental health awareness in the school community. You know, I'm a little concerned, and I'm hoping I just got a text by Lisa saying that hello with a question mark. So I'm assuming that she's on the line because I got a couple people on the line, and I'm hoping she's the one because I didn't have a chance to get my phone to make sure the number is correct, but we'll find out in a minute. But the co-host that's joining us, I want to give them their great introduction like I always do. It's good to be able to do it. And these individuals truly, truly dear to me. So I appreciate them volunteering their time to be on this Monday night show talking real to you. Hails from the state of Georgia, outside of Atlanta area. She's known to us now as Dr. O, none other than Dr. Olivia E. Smith. How you doing, Doc?
Good evening. I'm fine. How are you?
I am awesome. I'm going to turn the volume up so I can make sure I hear you real well. Okay, great. You're doing great on this end. It's good to have you on the show tonight, Doc.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to our guest speaker and also entertaining questions from the community or our listeners.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Doc. Also, Dr. Smith, and I give a shout-out when they're in the organization, a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. My sister, that wears the blue and white, hails from the state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated, none other than Scarlett H. Black. How are you doing, Scarlett?
I'm a little under the weather tonight, but I'm present and accounted for and ready to get roaring to go. But, yeah, I've been under the weather a little bit today. But we're so glad to have our listening audience with us and to always be a silent participant or active participant in getting information that we all can use and better our communities.
Exactly. Awesome, awesome. And I hope you feel better. We pray that you improve and get better each hour, not each day, but each hour, because it is a challenging time, the change of the weather. We went from 100 degrees about a month ago and a month and a half to down to 26 here in Alabama. So I know in South Carolina and other places it's cold, and we got to adjust to it. Went from hot to hay fever, and was dry to now freezing. The temp's going to go up. So we just continue to pray that all that are dealing with any type of sickness, you get even better hour by hour, not day by day. All right, let's move forward with mental health awareness in the school community. And like I say, I'm seeing several numbers on here, and I'm so glad to have each and every one of you, as well as individuals on Facebook. We have a list of people on Facebook. Now, we want you to be a part of the show. The call-in number for the show is 347-857-4192. And if you have something to share with us and you want to chat about what we're talking about, press 1. And I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to give us your location and your name if you choose to and offer your comments, questions, expertise. Again, 347-857-4192. All right, without further ado, we want to make sure we introduce our guest that's going to be with our special guest. And I'm going to make sure that's just the individual that's on the line. and just give her the right shout out like we should. Now, our guest, Lisa Farah Levine, hails from the state of Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio. She makes her home now in South Florida, Boca Raton. She has a bachelor's degree in psychology and a master's degree in social work. She's been in South Florida since 2003. She's been working in various positions throughout the community and with different agencies, focusing on clinical therapy and health for our young people, for our communities. She works in homes as well as in the community and school-based therapy. She's a certified yoga instructor or teacher. She's a licensed clinical social worker and a psychotherapist. And I'm getting some feedback. Is that you, Lisa, on the line? I thought it was her. Okay. I might be getting some feedback. I'm trying to introduce her now, and I thought I'm getting some people that are talking on the line. Okay. Well, that wasn't her on that line, so we'll just hope we can get her in here in a minute. She's working the car. I've seen her flash up. She's still trying to call in and trying to get the number. And she's asking me a question. So let me answer her on Facebook because she's sending me some questions, some statements here, and I want to be able to give her the right shout-out. And if y'all allow a minute for her to make sure we do that. But my co-host, if at this time you have some things you want to share, please share with us at this time while I make sure I get Lisa straight on the call-in number. Dr. Smith, you want to share the thing as well as Ms. Scarlett? Okay. Dr. Smith.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to getting more input and more insight on our chronicity, I should say, of school shootings, what is triggering our children to go to this extent to murder other students and then themselves, or to simply murder themselves. So I think tonight will provide more insight for me in this area, especially trauma, the impact that it has on our lives, and especially seeing PTSD in students. I think the soldiers have offered a challenge to the returning soldiers, have offered a challenge to America, and now our children will offer that same challenge as they experience the same symptoms or trauma.
Awesome.
Events.
Okay.
So I'm
Dr. Smith.
Dialogue.
Dr. Smith, not to cut you off. Dr. Smith, not to cut you off right now. Let us now. We do have Lisa on the line. Lisa Levine. She's joining us now, and I was started with the introduction with you, Lisa. Do you hear me, Lisa?
I do. Hello.
Awesome, awesome. We have you. You're coming in loud and clear. I was introducing you, but I'll just go to basically your program and what you're doing right now in South Florida, because you work both in West Palm County, Palm Beach County, as well as Broward County. You work in each one of those areas. You work with the young people. You have a program that you work with called Katie's Kids Yoga Program. It's a school-based yoga program that works with these students throughout Palm Beach, as well as Briar, dealing with situations to help them better cope with things. I was giving a brief bio about you, but we kind of was not in the right connection, but we're on now. Now, you can start off sharing the things a little bit about yourself as well as what exactly you're doing down in South Florida. I know you say you was a little bit nervous, but you're good. We have you. Let's make it happen right now. So we now have Lisa on the line. Lisa, you can start sharing your thoughts right now.
Okay. I've been in social work for about 26 years. As you stated, I moved down to South Florida in 2003. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. Since I've been in South Florida, I've been doing therapy. I've done school-based therapy, community-based therapy, in-home therapy. I've worked with all sorts of different children and families from different backgrounds. I decided 6 years ago that I was going to go off on my own and start a private therapy practice. So I have a private therapy practice here in Boca Raton, Florida. And 6 years ago, I also put together a children's yoga program, which we teach in Broward County, we teach in Palm Beach County. The program doesn't just teach children yoga. We've incorporated art. We do meditation, mindfulness. I've kind of designed this program in a way where it meets the needs of each child in a group setting, meets the needs of the schools that we serve. We teach children how to become more self-aware, how to express themselves, how to cope, you know, how to manage their stressors. And we also work with school staff as well on how they can assist the children too. You know, if they see a child that's upset or maybe not having a good day, you know, we implement the tools for the school staff to use with the children as well. So that's a little bit about me and what I'm doing right now.
That's awesome. And again, we're glad to have you on here. We have been back and forth pretty much all day, trying to make sure we're on the right track tonight. And we had a few hiccups, but we're good. We're ready to go now, Lisa. We could just really share some thoughts and see can we offer our audience and our listeners an opportunity just to be a part of this. They can call in. We're asking them to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, I will identify your last four digits of your cell or your telephone number and ask you to give your name, the location, and what's your comments, question, or expertise in regards to mental health awareness in our school community. Now, I'm going to start off and I'll let my team join in. We have Scarlett H. Black that's joining us out of Greenville, South Carolina. She's on the line, as well as Dr. Olivia E. Smith, we call Dr. O. She's joining us as well. And we're going to just take an opportunity as other people on the line. I appreciate everybody joining us on the line. But it's an opportunity for you to listen to some things that will maybe put you in a position. As we say, we're just going to talk about just plain old life issues. So let me kind of get started off. Lisa, in regards to mental health being a hidden crisis that affects millions of our school-age children, as a therapist, as a yoga teacher, as a licensed clinical social worker, how do we address this situation in our schools so we can kind of recognize these things that are going on with our young people?
Well, one, I think a main problem that we're having right now, we don't have enough services in the schools. We don't have enough services available to families. I think what's happened is many people maybe are fearful to say something's going on with their child. I think many people are in denial. There's a stigma, there's shame. a lot of times people also, parents themselves have some mental health issues going on, and they're not, you know, maybe aware, you know, to get their child help. And some kids will say, you know, I do need help. You know, they do voice their concerns. They do understand something's going on. Then you got some kids that don't. But I think the biggest problem that we're seeing is lack of services, lack of involvement. Schools, you know, I think do the best that they can in order to guide to get help. And then I think us as clinicians, we do the best we can to help people, to help the parents, to help the children. But it has to be a team effort. We need to be working together on helping the children.
Okay. Lisa, if as you say that a lot of the young people are able to recognize what's going on, with, if not, they're being helped to a sense, but the lack of staff or individuals being trained to help recognize it or even help you all, since you're an agency that comes into the school system, could you say that's a reason why there's so many young people, billion of school-age children, in a hidden crisis, and we just don't know what to do? Even if we try to put staff in, we just don't have the right staff in. What would you say about that?
I do think you've got some good people that are trained, but then I think you do have some people that are not trained. And I think something I've seen down here in Florida or in the areas I'm in, you know, we're expecting teachers to be therapists. We're expecting, you know, the principals, the guidance counselors. And it's become, I think, overwhelming to a lot of people. I do think there are some people that do want to help and they do the best that they can. However, we're missing on, used to be a long time ago, you had mental health professionals in the schools. You had licensed clinicians. You had psychologists. Now we don't have that. Maybe in some places we do, in some places we don't. I don't think there's also... sometimes kids during the day, you know, we don't know what's going on in their homes. They come to school and they act out. I think sometimes I feel if we had someone for the kids to come and talk, you know, for a few minutes and just release their emotions, allow them to release and then, you know, go back and try to finish the rest of their day, you know, listen to them. I think that's a huge problem. We're not listening to these kids when they're talking to us or even through their behavior. A lot of kids, when they act out, that's their way of telling us, hey, I need help. I need to talk.
Awesome.
I need someone
awesome.
To listen to me. That's the most important thing. And I know when I'm in the schools and I'm with my program, the one thing we emphasize, talk to us. Talk to somebody at home. Use your words. We teach coping skills through our yoga program. We teach them ways to communicate. We teach them tools to use. And we create a very safe and secure environment. And I think that's missing in a lot of places. We don't provide that for our children.
Hmm.
You know,
and
I would be happy if I could put in relaxation rooms in the schools. We would need a small space. You put in a room for kids, even teachers, just to go to, just to decompress, de-stress, go back and finish your day.
Awesome. That is wonderful. A great idea that, as a retired educator myself, I believe we could use a lot of rooms like that. I can tell you. And I'm quite sure Scarlett can agree with me as well as Dr. O. There's a need for something that could allow our individuals to relax. From this point on, Scarlett, either Dr. O, you have an opportunity if you want to ask a question of Lisa at this time, if you would.
Well, first of all, Mr. Levine, thank you for being on tonight. We're very glad to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
And a lot of things, you're certainly welcome. a lot of things that you had said. I'm also a former licensed counselor and guidance counselor in the schools before I went into administration. Back during the day, about maybe 15, 20 years ago, we tried to implement meditation programs in the schools in our system. And, of course, there was a lot of backlash because you had, and I'm bringing it back, I always bring it back to political things. This is why voting, voting is so critical because yes, legislators, there was a big backlash about meditation, mediation, and things of that nature. And I also do yoga, too, so I'm glad to know that you're a yoga enthusiast also. And it's great for stress and stress release and things of that nature, but there's a huge backlash of right-wing comments about teaching anti-this, anti-Bible, anti-that. And as a result of that, our schools, our children, society has gotten even more stressed, if I'm making sense. But you know where I'm coming from. So I guess my question to you is, have you received, what type of backlash have you gotten in trying to implement your program, which is so sorely needed, in the schools there in Florida, in the area where you serve?
I don't think that we've gotten backlash. I think it's a lot of uncertainty. You don't even have to use meditation, because I know, yes, it can become political. People can view this as, oh, it's religious. It's really not.
Right.
I think it's a good way to teach children, you know, breathing. How do we breathe properly? You know, how do we calm ourselves down through the use of breathing exercises? And, you know, I get very creative with the kids. You know, I tell them, like, when you come into your classroom, you know, sit at your desk, at your chair, and reach over, touch your toes, and just do your breathing. 15, you know, count to 15. There's a study on, I don't know if you guys heard about it, The Atlantic did, on replacing detentions with meditation. And you can become very creative in doing these things. It can just be let's do some, you know, bubble breathing. Let's do some dragon breathing. You know, you can, depending on the age of the kid, you don't even have to use the word meditation. I think that's where the problem comes in. And I think also maybe funding could be an issue in bringing in outside programs. I think, like I said, fear, unknown. People are overwhelmed. Maybe they don't have time to meet or watch or see. We always offer, you know, a free class when we go into places. We offer free workshops for teachers because we know how hard their jobs are. We want to be able to help them too. We want them to see what we're doing and how much good can come out of this. And it might not be for everybody, but it does work. I actually, you know, we suffered a trauma down here on Valentine's Day, you're aware, in 2018. And I had several of my kids say to me, "Miss Lisa, I was so scared, but I remember to do," there's things I show them to do, like on their hands or on their foreheads. I teach them ways to self-soothe. And they said, you know, that they were doing these things. And I thought, oh, my gosh, in the middle of a trauma and a crisis, these kids went back and thought about things that we talked about and learned in class. And then there were three boys that told me specifically, they were in fifth grade, and I said, "Did it work?" And they said, "No, but we tried." And I said, "That's all I care about, that you remembered." You know, they remembered to do it. So that's important.
And unfortunately, budget cuts are also a big part of that. Usually when schools do not want to fund, some of the first things to go are critical things like counselors, social workers, things of that nature, as well as the arts programs, music, which is also have come to effect on children in young adults and things of that nature. So until we get serious about this in this country, I applaud people like you who are trying to do it, you know, one school at a time, one child at a time.
Yep.
But we need this all over, and we need to stop cutting programs that are critical to the social, emotional skills and abilities of our young people.
I agree.
This is Olivia Smith. I wanted to ask you if you could share more about after the trauma you all had, 2018, is that correct?
Yes.
After that event, what were some of the symptoms that the students displayed? Would you compare those to symptoms of some of the soldiers who are returning from war?
Well, what we're seeing, or what I'm seeing, we are seeing PTSD, an increase in anxiety. Children are hyperstartle. You know, if you hear a loud noise or something of that nature, the kids are doing practice lockdown drills, sometimes three times a week, sometimes once a week. So we are seeing an increase in stress. So not only do you have academic stress, peer stress, home stress, you've got stress and fears about being in school and feeling safe. And we really need to work with the children on what do we do when we're not feeling safe. And we have this heightened level of anxiety. Because when children become so anxious, they're inattentive, they're distracted, they don't pay attention, they don't get their work done. So this is what I've been seeing, an increase. And I think if you ask other people in the schools, the school staff, or the parents, the kids themselves, they'll tell you that that's the best ones that we should be talking to and listening to is our kids. And I know the kids I work with, they communicate with me. You know, they let me know what's going on or what happened or how they were feeling, or which is good.
It's awesome, Allison. Lisa, the call-in number. Let me give the call-in number out so those individuals that are joining us on Facebook, Instagram, can call in, because I'm getting questions and statements on Facebook as well as Instagram, and you can call in and we can actually hear from you. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I identify you with the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then I'll actually give you a name and location if you choose to, and then ask you to just offer your comments, your questions, as well as your expertise. Lisa, one of the things I was listening to you, and I want to kind of go back to, you said something about a lot of the students that you encounter may have some mental health concerns, but also they come in from homes that have mental health concerns. Is it some kind of particular, especially as a former educator, I know we see children and they may be acting out, but how do we work together so we can address this problem with possibility that those young people come to school, age children coming to school, but also parents that have some mental health issues at home, and it's just, they just bottle up with this, children bottle up, parents bottle up with that.
Yeah.
How can we address that? Because that's something I noticed you said about a lot of the young people that you're dealing with are trying to address some of the concerns they have.
I mean, I do find it to be challenging. You know, we do have parents that we work with that they maybe have, they're bipolar, they suffer from depression. Maybe they have some kind of PTSD or trauma in their life. Parents with personality disorders, very difficult to deal with. That's a huge challenge. And I think an even bigger challenge is trying to encourage parents themselves, hey, let's get you some help too, you know, because that's what we want. We want to engage. But part of the problem, I think, when people have severe mental health issues, they don't recognize it themselves. And because they don't recognize it, they don't get the help. And another issue, which I'll just bring up briefly, is health insurance. People don't have the funds to cover insurance. Maybe the deductible is high, the copay is high. This is a very big problem. You know, I feel, you know, in some way, form, or shape, we need to figure out how to get these services covered, you know, through insurance. I keep my rates, I know I do a sliding fee scale, I keep my rates affordable and reasonable for people that don't have insurance. And I think that's important, but it's getting that person to engage. That's where part of the problems are at.
You're saying, can you hear me, Lisa?
Yes, ma'am.
You're saying getting the parents to engage in services,
yes.
Clinical services?
Yes, with mental health issues, yes.
Awesome. That has always been a challenge.
Yes,
how
it is.
Is there any funding available to families who've experienced the trauma who may not have insurance or are underinsured? Are there any monies that the government is offering providers in the area so that anyone who's interested can receive help?
Well, I'm not totally sure what types of funding is available.
Yes.
To people. I do know in Parkland they've created, like, there's Eagles Haven. I believe that's free for families, children to go to. So they've created that center. And that's, you know, for anybody. I don't believe there's a charge to it, but I think we do need to look at what do we do to get these things covered, and what do we do with somebody who's severely mentally ill, and we can't, how can they help their child if they can't help themselves? You know, if they have a mental health issue, how can they help their child who's suffering from anxiety or trauma or, you know, whatever's going on in that child's life? You know, that's a big problem. Like, the schools can say, hey, we recommend, we're concerned. And I have to say, all the schools on that are fantastic. And we all work together as a team. And if there is a concern with a child, I do feel like, you know, these people are very caring, and they want the child to get help. You know, they want, you know, the parents to know what's going on. They want to help the parents. And oftentimes we find it really hard to say, hey, look, you know, we're concerned. You know, we saw, you know, Mikey doing this at school. This is a concern to us. It's really hard because parents become defensive. Not my kid, not my kid. My kid is fine, but it's okay. I always say this too to everybody. It's okay to not be okay. We just need to work on how to be okay. We need to work on how to be okay.
That's right. Lisa, and I know you briefly mentioned it, and everybody that's aware of the school shooting that happened in Parkland. I tell everybody when I was living in South Florida, I lived in Sunrise. And I know on the other side of the Sawgrass Expressway, I could see Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School when I'm on the expressway, traveling north to a center. But I know you had an opportunity to work with some children that may have not been there, but might be a feeder school for that school. We had a parent that was on here. Her daughter was there. She since had graduated this year from Douglas High School. And one of the things she was kind of concerned was there was, as we're talking about for the parents, there's nothing for the parents. But besides that, it seems like when we have our school shooting, there's nothing in place as a former educator that helps us as educators. and I'm a set of adults, meaning teachers, administrators, staff. Have you noticed anything being done with those individuals in the aftermath of this, of last year? What, you know, the aftermath, what exactly is being done, you know, to help those adults in that school to kind of deal, because they was there just like the children. And we was always told as educators, and Ms. Black can maybe attest to it, that we got hazardous duty, but we don't get no pay for it. We fall under that category as educators.
Right.
Is anything you can kind of offer? Because her concern was as a parent, but also those teachers, once we do all we have to do, go back right back in that school. They still have to deal with those children. And I just want to hear your thoughts in regards to that.
Well, I'm not sure totally what services are available in the schools themselves for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if there are services in all the schools for the teachers. I think that's something we do need to look at, especially in the aftercare programs, because at the time of the incident, you know, a lot of the children were in aftercare, and the aftercare staff had the children on lockdown. And I think we forget, like, they have very important jobs, and they did very, you know, they were all amazing. Like, the people I know that I work with, you know, they took charge, they had everything under control, but also they're traumatized too. And there's been a lot of changes since then. So I think it is important to address and provide services. Like I said, we offer, if they want us to come in and do yoga with them, if they want to sit and paint with us, if they want to meditate, you know, we make that a part of our program to do teacher workshops, because I think it's important. They have really hard jobs. They have really, really difficult and challenging jobs, and I commend all of them for what they do and what they've done.
That's true. And I think the most frustrating thing is when teachers have sought to get an understanding or taken special courses to understand their students and then try to get the assistance. And I think we have are looking at resources in the community, like maybe education partner with mental health associations, the National Alliance for Mental Illness in your local area, because families offer support. They're always willing to provide support, almost to the point where it becomes political, because they're advocating for their families to utilize resources in the community or to get some assistance to deal with the mental illness, as well as having the family get the support they need.
Right.
So I think
go ahead.
I'm just saying, but then we come down to the individual schools and whether our principals and administrators support that. And a lot of times we do not support until it becomes traumatic in our area.
I think a concern, another concern is that even with the mental health organizations and associations and those offerings outside of the school system, they also are underfunded. Often it's hard to get quality trained, as Ms. Levine mentioned, personnel in. The turnover rate can be very high in some areas often.
Uh-huh.
And so to me, you know, I know on this show, you know, we always have to bring in the political and societal thing that's really happening, because we got soldiers coming back. They can't get the services they need through the Veterans Administration, which also affects their families. You have your husband your son, your grandson, or whomever it could be, significant other coming back, and he's suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and can't get the services that he or she needs, it affects the entire family. Veterans don't serve alone. Those children are also in schools. And so when we start cutting services and can't get the quality personnel that you need, it's a vicious circle that never ends. And we're just going to have to decide, just like with gun legislation, when are we going to get serious about all of these things that affect us as people?
Are you asking my opinion on that?
No, I'm just making a statement.
Oh, okay. I could talk for hours about that.
Hours about that. That's true.
It's a problem. Is services not being available or the right services? I find another issue. People aren't patient with the therapy process. I think sometimes people think you come in and boom, we can wave our magic wand and we're all better. And it doesn't work that way. Therapy is a process. And you have to be patient and you have to give it time. So when there are services that people have and you've found someone that you've connected with, you know, keep working at it. You know, therapy is a work on the client themselves, on the client, if it's a child, the family unit, the parents. But yeah, it's a problem down the line with getting the right services in and then making sure people continue with the services. Because PTSD, we know, guys, it comes and it goes, you know, you could be okay one day, maybe the next day you're not. You might be okay for 2 months, then maybe you're not. You know, a trigger comes
exactly.
in, a memory. Yeah.
Exactly.
It can be a long-term process.
We have a caller, not to cut you off, Lisa. And this caller has the last 4 digits of 3703. You're live. Can you get your name? And if you choose your location, then ask your question or offer your expertise.
Good evening, everyone. This is Tamika Robinson here in Montgomery, Alabama.
Good evening, Tamika.
My question was awesome conversation. Let me say that first and foremost, a very needed conversation. Right now, I am a classroom educator, and it is most frustrating when, as an educator, attempting to assist my students, when I recognize things and I report those things, and not to get the assistance or the support to further help the individual child or the children. My question for you, are you aware of any trainings or professional development opportunities that individual teachers can elect to participate in to learn more as far as being able to identify children that are, you know, struggling in certain situations or identify things that may not be readily identifiable just to the naked eye?
Awesome. Lisa, go ahead on. I'm sorry, Lisa, go ahead on.
I'm happy to look into that for you. I'm not in from your area, but I'm more than happy to see. Maybe there is something online you can do. Maybe there's, I think probably what needs to happen is they need to come in to the schools, right, and to assist you guys and give you guys training on how to identify. I know they've been doing that down here. They've been doing like mental health, you know, trainings. They've had people come in to the schools, or they've been doing them, you know, in other places in the community. So I think that is a very good idea, and they should probably have more of that in the schools to assist you guys, because you're right, there is a lack of a support often.
is a tremendous lack of support, and our counselors are most often extremely bogged down with paperwork, and that's another issue. I do understand that funding, even here in Alabama, is of course a major issue for us, but for me as a classroom educator, it's almost impossible to instruct or to expect a child to develop academically when they have so many other things that they're fighting against. And it's really unfortunate right now. Well, it's been for, I've noticed the last 10 years, it's increasingly becoming more and more of an issue, but it's not an issue that we're, as a community nationally, as focused on as I believe we should be. We have students who, you know, they do have toxic environments at home that bleed over into the school. They do have, we have a lot of substance abuse that I personally think a lot of my students that I know are using various substances,
right.
It's a coping mechanism for them. I have students who've lost friends, friends that have been killed, you know, and it's their way of coping, but it creates even more problems for them because then we have to deal with the school-to-prison pipeline when it comes to those types of issues, when if we would put in the funds needed to fully staff our schools with the proper professionals to help them, we could eliminate a lot of the things that we're seeing in our young kids today, and young adults, per se.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And you could be a part of this as well. That's 347-857-4192. Lisa, before we move to our closing of our show, and we want to give you an opportunity. I know it went pretty fast, but that's our hour time. But I always schedule longer than an hour, 90 minutes, so even if we need to go a little longer, we will. I really want you to kind of talk about your the program that you put together in 2014. Called Katie's Kids Yoga Program, and you can share your thoughts and just tell us about that program. We just want to hear about it because that's something we may want you to come this way and work with us.
I would love to come that way. I would love to bring this beautiful program into other places. I started the program back in November 17th, 2013, my friend's daughter was driving home with a friend on the Sawgrass Expressway, which is in Coral Springs, and she was probably 30 seconds from getting off of at her exit, and a wrong-way driver came onto the highway and find out this person was intoxicated and had been smoking marijuana and had been posting this on social media, had been tweeting. My friend's daughter's name is Caitlin Ferrante. You can Google the full story. So the premise behind Katie's Kids Yoga is to help people, to reach out to young people and let them know you don't need to smoke marijuana when you're fighting with your boyfriend, which is what happened with this young lady, as she reported, and you don't need to drink alcohol and try to fit in with friends. There's other ways of coping with your problems. So, you know, two young girls, Caitlin Ferrante and Marissa Catronio, both age 21, both lost their lives that night. And this program is designed to help children. Let's direct them away from becoming violent, or now it's vaping. Vaping is the big thing. They don't even know what they're vaping, I think, half the time. But we want children to learn healthy outlets to deal with their problems. You know, that's the premise behind Katie's Kids. And as I stated, doesn't have to just be for yoga. You know, some places I go, we do art and we do mindfulness activities. We want to create the program to meet the needs of each individual school, each individual child. So that's how I started that program. And we currently have been in 60 different places, which I think is really good. And we want to keep expanding and growing and putting this message out there and help children channel their energies and channel their emotions. And mindfulness teaches you about body awareness and self-awareness and kindness and compassion. And we help children build social skills. We work with them on acceptance of themselves and of others. I actually am just starting a campaign. I just had some shirts made, and on the shirts it states, "I will be your friend." You know, we want a campaign against bullying, and we want to work on children learning to get along with one another and accepting one another, even if you don't like somebody. And it's really important. I think that's a huge problem too. Many children feel like they're not included, low self-esteem, their social skills aren't the best, and they get mistreated. So we do empowerment, we do girls groups, we do teen groups, we're in daycares, aftercare programs, school settings. I do a free class once a month up in Coral Springs for the past 3 years just to give back to the community. So we really, really want to send a message out there about getting help and getting help in a different way. I always say yoga with a twist. So it's got yoga with a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So
that's awesome.
That's a bit about my program.
That's an awesome program. And like I said, we're going to be working with Lisa from this point on to make sure we can get that type of program here in Alabama, as I stated, I stayed in Sunrise, just moved back to Alabama in 2016-17. So I was in the area over there on Hyannis, and as well as Oakland Park Boulevard. So I think you may know where that is. So that's, that's where I was over in that area. It was awesome being there and being able to communicate with Lisa about it. This is an outstanding program, and we truly enough, it wasn't enough time, but you know what? We invite her to come back again. This is because I know she has more to share with us, and we want to hear everything, because as I look at Facebook, when people are typing in, especially Tamika, she's sharing her thoughts, and just to have some idea of how this can help in the school system here in the state of Alabama, not only there, now listeners all over the country and the world, truly, and they'll have a chance to get an opportunity. So, Lisa, I would like for you to share your contact information with everybody so they can make contact with you, whether through whatever media outlet or mechanism you're using, so they can communicate with you.
Okay, well, we can be reached. Our website is www.katieskidsyoga.com. The email address is katieskidsyoga, which is katieskidsyoga@gmail.com. On social media, we can be found at Katie's Kids Yoga Program. And on Instagram, Facebook and Instagram. And you can find me on Facebook as well if you want to. You can connect with me through Facebook. You can contact us through email, through our website. You know, we will get back to you that same day. And we're happy to bring this program, as I stated. We're happy to come to Alabama. If you'll have us, tell Miss Tamika we'll come into her classroom. We'd be happy to do that.
Okay, Tamika, you hear that?
I'm listening. I'm writing down the information.
She's got to do yoga with me, though. That's my rule.
I will.
All the teachers have to do it with us.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And we're going to do all we can through the Smith Way Production and Enterprise to make sure we can get with, partner with the school system to see how we can work to have this brought into our system. And Lisa, we really enjoyed it. Our connection, when we first got started off, we didn't get where we needed to go, but we finally got there. It's a blessing that God made it possible for us to connect. Again, we thank you, dearly, dearly thank you for taking time to share this with us. That's Lisa Levine, and we're so happy to have her as a guest, and she's invited to come back. We'll talk
thank
and see
you.
When you come back, because we need to do the next show, be part two. I think it will be a great opportunity. Again, thank you for joining us.
I think so, too.
Be awesome, be awesome. All right, team, last words that you'd like to share before we close out.
This is Olivia. I just wanted to thank Lisa for coming on and sharing with us the programs in Parkland, Florida, and other areas where she's intervened or provided a service. I think it would be a great idea to come into Alabama. This type program is well needed, and if it can be introduced to the educators, I think it's great. I will also agree to volunteer my time as well to assist Ms. Robinson, because I know she talked about this for several weeks when she's been on the show. She's talked about domestic violence in education as well as mental health issues. So I think it's a crucial issue that should be addressed. And I just hope that this can come into fruition. Look forward to it.
Awesome, awesome. All right, Scarlett?
I think it's great that this service is being offered. And not only for the schools, do you also go into the churches? Many churches, even when schools are maybe not on board with some of these type of programs, can you go into the churches and after school programs that they have and offer and really open it up to the community where maybe that can't be done in some areas in this country where schools would not, you know, have it, but would you go into churches who have after school programs?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Aftercare
so
will come in during the day.
Really
we do before cares,
yeah,
too. Some schools have before cares. So,
right.
Absolutely.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Wonderful. We're so glad that this is another resource out there because, again, you know, we try to offer on this show resources that will empower us to help ourselves block by block, house by house, because no one on a white charger is coming to save. We've got to find these resources and get them out there and utilize them. So thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to part two.
Okay. We'll communicate and we'll talk about it again. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Mental Health Awareness in School Community, Lisa F. Levine. She shared awesome ideas and thoughts, and we thank her again for taking her time to be here, but we will have her back again. As I say on all our shows, we just so blessed to have an opportunity to use this vessel to get the information out to you. It's a resource that you can use because that's what it's all about. We're all about bringing this to the community, bringing it to our world stage, which is the 16 countries that we serve. So we are happy to have guests like Lisa and many others that comes on to Talking Real to You. Co-hosts, I thank you again for being here and joining us. But we're at the time to close this show out. We want to make sure we give our shout out to those people on Facebook, those people that's on Blog Talk Radio, that I can identify their number for sure. And we'll make sure we come back with a part two of this, because we need it. We need a lot of opportunities. We just need as much training resource as possible. All right, we're going to start off with Facebook and a couple of numbers I saw down here. Again, we're going to thank our guest, special guest, Lisa, for joining us. Also, we have out of Columbus, Ohio, we have Crystal Porter, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority. Thank you for joining us. Thank you also for joining us for the numbers I can identify. Tamika Robinson, a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. I wanted to make sure I give her that shout out. And we thank her for joining on Facebook. We have many others, and we're going to make sure we got a list of them, so bear with me before I close it completely out. We have Alicia Hardy is joining us. Thank you, Alicia. Antonio Washington, one of my frat brothers of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. Thank you, Antonio. Bruce E. DeWall, Coach DeWall. He's another member of my fraternity, Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. He also was a guest on this show when we first got started back in 2017. Marilyn W. McCall, one of my parents and one of my middle school players down in Hainesville, Alabama. So I appreciate this young lady joining us. Harris Yvette Geeters, thank you for joining us. Tanya B. Daniel, and I'll give a shout out to Tanya and Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. I see it on there. Zane Houston, thank you so much. Mario Ball, we thank you for joining us. He's a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. If I'm not, you had to get on me, Marion. I appreciate you for joining us. We also have Lisa Marie Smith Sherrod. We have Mika Robinson. We have Terry Melodramatic Robinson joining us as well. We also have Tasima Sunshine Jackson joining us. Thank you so much. Another one of my frat brothers joining us as well. Winston Bingo O'Neill out of the Great Lakes region, out of the state of Michigan. Thank you, frat, for joining us so much for joining us. We have Tracy Hurd Kendricks, member Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, as well as another one of my former students, that's Anthony Rudolph, Big Ed. He played football and basketball for me down at McKenzie School. Then my biological sister, Yvette Smith, as well as my biological youngest brother, Connie Smith. We also have Booty Malone. All right, then. Wanda Ware Franklin. And also we have two others. That's my fraternity brother, Chris Butler, a member who came through Gamma Beta at Alabama State University. And he's active up in the northern part of the country. And last but not least, we have Tara Lynn Love. Thank each and every one of you all. I had some people flash on and flash off on Instagram. But, again, thank you so much for joining us. My hashtag is communicate for understanding. That's what we have to do, because it's something Lisa said, that we have to allow children to talk and we have to listen to them. That's important. Communicate for understanding. Hashtag keep on grinding. And last but not least, as we listen to a song by Bashawn Mitchell, we don't own the rights to it. It's all about joy. If we do the things that Lisa's talking about and everybody's talking about, we're going to bring about joy block by block by block. Have an awesome night. We'll check you out on Wednesday night on Talking Sports Plus. I love you, and ain't a thing you can have to do about it.
All the true worshipers, you don't need no help. Just open your mouth and release that sound that's inside of you. Come on. Release your sound in here. There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got to.
get you.